Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. Thank you very much for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame, and you're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show. I'm glad you're here. Got an outstanding show lined up for you straight ahead with our good friend Jerry Ripperger. Jerry's a longtime member of our Brain Trust, the Director of Consulting at Principal Financial Group, and he's here to talk to help us celebrate. We're going to celebrate something I bet you've never celebrated before, National Employee Ownership Month. Jerry Ripperger, welcome back.
Thanks, Jim.
It's good to have you back. How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Good. Hey, Jerry, National Employee Ownership Month. Now, that's another way to say ESOP, right? Employee Stock Option Program?
Sure. I mean, there's many ways that employees can share ownership in the company they work for, but employee stock ownership plans are certainly one of the most prevalent ways of doing that. The National Center for Employee Ownership studied it. Well, just in the last couple of weeks, it showed about 4.2% of privately held companies are owned by an employee.
Wow. Say that again.
4.2% of privately held companies are actually owned by their employees. So
right.
Employee ownership is not an exception. It's very mainstream.
Well, you know, this is a great, to me, an ESOP, that kind of a program where the employees buy the company when the founder is ready to cash out is a great way for budding entrepreneurs, for growing small businesses, to think about their, you know, an exit strategy for them. Because, you know, a lot of people, one of the real conundrums, Jerry, as you know, with a lot of successful entrepreneurs, a lot of successful small business owners, if they grow their business really well, they're able to scale it pretty darn well, You don't have to think about, okay, I got to go public to cash out, or I got to be acquired by some big company. I got to start courting somebody. I got to merge with somebody. Then we got to go through all that, and then I've got to decide how to keep that information from my employees until it's finished. And you know, I mean, it's a real dance that you have to go through. It's a lot of anguish. An ESOP kind of takes a lot of that off the table, doesn't it?
It certainly allows you to put a strategy in place that gives you some certainty. I often refer to ESOPs as one of the certainty makers. I mean, you're going to create your own buyer. You're going to create your time frame for selling the company. You know you're going to be able to sell the company at fair market value. So it creates a lot of certainty in that process. But one of the things I like to point out, Jim, is we can use ESOPs for a lot more than just the decision to sell our business. One of the biggest uses of an ESOP is for a business owner that's looking to diversify their holdings. The average average business owner, privately held company, has 79% of their net worth tied up in the value of their business.
Wow! I believe that includes the real estate.
Sure.
Which is another thing, the ESOP can rent the real estate from the owner if they own the real estate, which they probably do.
That's very, very common. Now they have to enter into, you know, an arm's length contract.
Of course, yes.
But yeah, it happens all the time.
Mm-hmm. So how does a company like, so what we're typically talking about here, let's talk about what the profile of, what is an ESOP, a good ESOP candidate company look like? What, they got at least 100 employees probably, something like that?
Oh, no, you can do them much, much smaller than that.
Really?
I mean, you see people as small as, you know, 20, 30 employees putting these up.
Wow.
You're going to want to look at a business valuation of probably, you know, $5 to $7 million.
Okay.
Which, you know, in today's world isn't a very big business.
Yeah, and that business valuation, does that include, that obviously includes balance sheet information, but it also probably does it include some goodwill, or what does it include? What do you think?
Yeah, you absolutely have your intangibles in there, whether that's your goodwill, that's intellectual property, those types of things all add to that business valuation.
all those things. So how does a company like Principal fit into this?
Well, the Principal is the largest administrator of e-files in the country. We think it's an integral part of helping business owners plan for their future, and it's an integral part of helping employees plan for their retirement. So we administer ESOPs all around the country.
When you say administer, what are you administering? Most people listening know how a business is owned and run, but when the employees do this together, you guys are kind of holding the administration for them as far as the ownership, the way everything's divided up. Is that what you're doing?
Sure, that's a great question, Jim. A lot of people don't understand it. An employee stock ownership plan at its core is qualified retirement plan. So it's a defined contribution retirement plan. This is what gives it its favorable tax status. So we actually administer the
So the employees going in, their ownership of the business is actually in the form of a retirement plan.
Correct.
Okay.
And it's an important tool for, as we look at retirement readiness, which is a big topic right now in the retirement community, of helping employees prepare for that ultimate day when they're no longer working and want to enjoy the fruits of what they've done.
Right. So how does the owner get his or her money out?
Well, they get their money out. The key is if you do 20 ESOPs, they're going to look 20 different ways because you got 20 owners with 20 sets of needs. But in the core of what we're doing, and the secret sauce, so to speak, is we're going to fund the purchase of the company almost exclusively using tax savings. So, I mean, if we contrast this to selling this, for example, to a third party, that third party goes to the bank, they get a loan to buy your business, they're repaying that loan with post-tax dollars.
Right. But is that where the funding comes to pay the owner? I mean, let's say the business is worth $7 million. Where does the $7 million come from?
It can come from a variety of sources. It can come from a bank or another external financing source.
Do you guys help with that? Do you guys help with that at all?
We don't. We're not actually in the funding portion of this.
So there still has to be the funding to go on. Somebody still has to come in and find a way. There might even be some paper taken back. So it's at that moment, it still looks a lot like a regular sale then.
Correct.
Okay.
And about a third of the time, Jim, there's not even any external funding. It's more of a pay-as-you-go approach.
Right. That's where the owner takes back paper. Jerry, give us your website, please.
Yes, www.principal.com.
All right. So check that out, folks, and find out more about ESOPs. Jerry, thank you for being here. Good job today. We'll see you next time. Quick break, 20 after. I'm Jim Blysingame. I'll be right back.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.